Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.
Hey everybody, David here with a little bonus episode from our friends over at Captain's Pod. As you might know, they are doing full episode-to-episode coverage of the new Star Trek series, Starfleet Academy. And Ian and Danae have already out on their main feeds two parts for one episode each for the double drop of the new season. We did a season preview a little while back with them, and then when they were recording their episode one thing, they said, oh, hey, let's do a little encapsulation. Let's sort of put a little message capsule together for the folks over at the Lorehounds. So they recorded that. They're calling it Warp 9, which is kind of a fun little play. And it's about 10 minutes of their initial reactions after watching episode one. It's pretty fun. So check it out. And then go check out their full coverage of both episodes one and two. And then they'll be going weekly after that. So yeah, go check them out. And thanks, everyone. Live long and podspur.
Hey, Lorehounds, it's Captain, that's him.
Hi.
And me, I'm Danae, and we recently chatted with David about the new Star Trek show, Starfleet Academy, and we just finished watching it, and we just finished recording our very first episode about this new series, and we thought we would tell you our quick thoughts in maybe 10 minutes or less.
We're going to try it. We're going to try and do a little bit of a non-spoiler overview, and then we'll give you some spoilery thoughts towards the end. So this is like a Captain's Pod
debrief.
But debrief.
A brief debrief.
It's a Captain's Pod log Lorehound supplemental briefing.
Spoiler alerts again at the end. We will tell you when we get to that point.
Yeah, we'll do a little like a little bit of a hailing frequency for you.
But first, we really did enjoy the first episode, like quite a lot more than we thought we would. And so here are some of our non-spoiler thoughts. First of all, it's a very visually exciting episode. We see sets and planets and action sequences, more of all of that than I actually thought
possible. And aliens? Who would have thought aliens in a Star Trek show?
Well, the aliens are a really unique blend because we're so far in the future in the Star Trek world than what they've made so far that they've been able to kind of blend different things together. And during our episode, we talk about how those blending of aliens together makes the characters make even more sense as to why they're being acted the way that they're being acted.
Yeah, it was one of the most interesting things I was looking forward to. So I am super happy to see episode one immediately delivered on that. It wasn't even a promise, but it was like an expectation. I was like, if you're going to be this far into the future, why aren't you exploring how species have merged?
But the sets are fun and the CGI is fun. Visually, it was a really stunning kind of experience. And there is action in it. I thought it might be a bit boring, but it was actually really fun action sequences. So we just want you to know that. Non-spoilery, but something that you can expect.
The action, I know that's not what you really come to Star Trek for necessarily, but the action is extremely well choreographed.
We thought.
Pretty easy to follow.
We thought.
I thought. We thought. pleasantly surprised. Like, Star Trek has not been known for doing fight choreography very well, but yeah, this episode, this pilot was very, very pleasantly surprising.
So if you would decide to watch it on your own and maybe listen to our episode, you'll definitely hear more about that. But we're going to shift over into some spoilers. So if you want to hear a little bit more about what you can expect, and again, they're going to be lighter spoilers, but with some specifics that we were really excited about, keep listening. Okay, first up, we really want you to know that the Academy, the Starfleet Academy, it is all happening on a ship that is both the ship and the Academy in one.
It's the USS Athena. It turns into a building.
It's pretty.
That lands on Earth. And
it's like a transformer.
It's a transformer.
But it looks really, really neat. So you kind of get to like see what the future of Star Trek could be, where the ships aren't so like, this is what the ship is. It only comes apart in these two places.
Yeah.
Suddenly it's like,
maybe
it has
wings. You
get
a source of separation.
Yeah. It has wings and all this stuff. And the sets of them are really, really pretty, but exteriorly we get to see some incredible shots of the ship. And yeah, the Academy that we're talking about can be in two places. It's not just a building on Earth. It can also go into space.
And I think that's really smart. Like, I think when I first heard Starfleet Academy was going to be a thing, it was like, oh, you're going to be on Earth? And then how are you going to shoehorn space adventure into that? So I think it's really, really smart to make Athena an integral part of the Starfleet Academy.
Also, spoiler alert, the cadet element, where we kind of thought it was going to be a bit like the Breakfast Club, it isn't exactly like that.
But it kind of is.
There are some parts of it that are definitely what you expect when you're trying to put new characters together, but it didn't cliche so hard that it was eye-rolling. It was actually kind of done with a right amount of humor,
yeah,
and sort of unexpected character development. The first episode, by the way, is over an hour, so they have kind of the time to do this.
Yeah, 15 minutes.
But we really enjoyed some of the actual like characters, and that was one of our concerns when we talked about it with David, but we kind of enjoyed it.
The central character, Caleb, this is really like keyed into his story. The opening is very much about his traumatic upbringing, his relation to Starfleet. We're very much seeing this from his point of view. And one of the things I loved is that it actually made it a very focused and human story and relatable story, and gave us a person to ground into as we're introduced to the far, far future of Star Trek, because this is happening about 800 years after TNG, if you're a Star Trek fan, the Picard era of Star Trek.
Yeah, and then, I mean, just in the show itself, meeting just this character, Caleb, and sort of centralizing on him makes it easier when the rest of the cast is introduced, and it is a diverse cast. We have a lot of people to focus on, but the episode, we think, did a good job of giving us enough character information that even though there's lots of new faces and new people, et cetera, it wasn't too overwhelming. To kind of boil it down, we have a new photonic in the Star Trek to consider. Well, I mean, new word maybe to me, photonic, but not really new, because this is a hologram character. One of the cadets is a hologram.
Yeah, this is adorable Sam, who just has all of the nervous energy and is, I guess you would say, the kind of neurodivergent-esque kind of character. That
childlike wonder.
Yeah, doesn't know how to interact with everybody, but is just so, so fun to watch. And yes, she is a hologram, prefers to be called a photonic. We really connected with her. She's great.
If you've seen Star Trek before, the familiarity of this character is kind of like a Data also, where they're kind of just amazed to be there and a participant in the great experience.
There to study humanity. Yes. Very much a thing we've seen before in Star Trek, but I think it's a crucial element of a good Star Trek show as well.
They do make this show feel new kind of through their eyes too. So a really fun character to introduce. Another character is a Klingon that is passive. So kind of subverting the idea that all Klingons are based on war. This one is warring with that idea by being really, really intense about bioengineering.
Bird watching and regenerating limbs.
But also a very like intimidating looking character. That's a fun one too.
Well, and a very traditional Klingon as well. This isn't like the Discovery Klingons. Like, this is more a Klingon that you would expect from
visually
from the TNG era, yes.
Another character, one that you might know, is actually the Doctor hologram from Voyager. So
the Doctor returns triumphantly.
Two holograms in this one, which is great because there's lots of programs in Star Trek, and now the programs can have a personality, and we get to see the examples of how this can work. The Doctor is a 500-year-old program at this point.
Older.
Though.
He is going to be, I think, 800. Yeah, 800 years is closer to the mark. Yeah.
And it is the same program that was the one in Voyager. So the actor playing this role gets to pull from a lot of knowledge. And we talk about that in our show proper.
Yeah, I love him. So it really, really worked for me. His return was excellent.
And the last character is a Lanthanite. This is another character that has longevity. The idea of, you know, people living for a long time. They can kind of look at the history of Star Trek and make better decisions for the first for the future. And this is the captain of the show. Played by Holly Hunter?
Oh,
played by Holly Hunter, Captain Nala Akei or Akei? I can't quite remember.
Don't ask me, yeah, because during the episode, I call her Captain Kitty, and you'll find out why if you listen to the show.
Yep, she's incredible. Love her. We should also talk about the villain as
played
by Paul Giamatti.
No.
Okay, fine. Yep, Nuss Braca, who is part Tellarite, part Klingon, eating up scenery, a very over-the-top villain, but kind of works as well. I think I'm still a little bit on the fence, but I did enjoy watching his villain just dialogue his way through everything. That's the really important characters, other than an incredible cadet master Jem'Hadar lady, who is just a flipping highlight.
Stop talking about everybody.
I love her so much. I'm sorry. The characters are so great.
10 minutes, we're trying to keep it short.
That's the characters. What happens kind of in the meat and potato of the episode, Ambassador?
I think I'm going to pretend like maybe this is the only thing you'll ever find out about the first episode of Starfleet Academy.
Yeah.
And try to kind of boil it down just in case you might be interested in the story and maybe want to get started on this particular show with us. For me, what I would say is that this is going to be a story about trying to reclaim what Star Trek, what Starfleet maybe was in its best days. And Star Trek has been playing around with different kinds of shows and different ways of telling the story within the Star Trek universe. And sometimes it got a bit dark, and sometimes it got a bit away from sort of like maybe the ideal of what Starfleet could be. And this show is going to attempt to get it back on the rails and sort of restart or re-kick its heyday, right? Like reignite that passion for what it means to build a better future. And we're getting to do that with a new cast. And like we have already said, we really enjoyed the chemistry of the cast, so it's exciting. And our characters are going to have a diverse background. They're going to be the anti-hero a little bit. There's going to be, you know, just sort of rivalry amongst them and genius amongst them sort of in this world. So really what you need to know is that you're going to watch this episode. It's going to be fun because it's like an action adventure. And you can walk away going, okay, I'm done. I don't need to see anymore. But what we're expecting is that this is sort of the beginning of the next generation. That's such a bad way of saying
it. Oh, no, Ambassador, they've already done that.
Of what Star Trek is going to look like, you know, being made in 2026.
It's definitely setting the tone of Starfleet went through a dark period, and here's the optimism of the future, which I think is really smart because Star Trek has always been this optimistic view of the future. That was the goal. And I think this first episode really sets that tone well. It has the dark element of Caleb's upbringing.
Yeah, it shows us what Starfleet messed up. Starfleet essentially separated a mother and a son from each other, and that made both of their lives just spin out in this terrible way. And the captain regrets that decision and has a chance to right it again, you know, 15 years later. And so taking that child that was ripped away from the mother and acclimating them into what Starfleet could become through this academy. And that's sort of like the beginning launching point. But all of the characters that are in Starfleet or the academy and they're kind of joining, they all have interesting stories too. We just don't know them as well as we know Caleb's here at the first episode.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons I really loved this first episode. It has a lot of character moments. It has a lot of Star Trek techno babble that you'd expect. It's got the spaceships that are just absolutely beautiful. It has a nice disaster on the ship that happens where all of the crew has to work together to get through the disaster, and a nice satisfying ending to that for me. And then just a little setup for the rest of the season. It was a really confident first episode. It kind of ticked all the boxes for what I want from Star Trek, minus the kind of philosophical questions. There wasn't quite the moral quandary element. But that's definitely more keyed into like episodic Star Trek as well. But in terms of this new wave of like series arc Star Trek like Discovery, I think this is the best version of what Discovery was trying to be. Like, I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah. So join us for the full conversation over on Captain's Pod Feed. Well, we recorded for 3 hours. I hope it's not actually going to be a 3-hour episode.
I think it's probably going to be a 2.5-hour debrief.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's a chunky one.
We have a lot to discuss because we had a really good time. Yeah. But it's also like the foundational start of an entire series.
It's huge.
And I have a lot of questions because I don't know a lot of information about the background of the aliens. And
I like to pretend that I do.
And I really kind of dug into my love of how things were shot from a director's perspective. The CGI, like I kind of let my little nerd flag fly over there. So I guess maybe it will be kind of long. But this one isn't, so we hope you enjoyed it. Thank you for giving us a shot and giving us a chance. We love you guys, and we can't wait to do some more collaborations with Lorehounds in the future.
Lorehounds and Pospa.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Captain's Pod. If you'd like to get in touch with the podcast, you can send us an email to ian@ianandene.com. And if you want to support the show and get the episodes early, you can go to our Patreon. That's patreon.com/ianandene. If you want to catch the show live, we have those links down in the description for YouTube and Twitch. And then I think I'm supposed to close this hailing frequency, so bloop bloop, we're out.
The Lorehounds podcast is produced and published by The Lorehounds. You can send questions and comments to lorehounds@thelorehounds.com. Get ad-free access to all Lorehounds podcasts on Patreon or Supercast, and connect with us on Blue Sky and join us on our Discord server. Links for everything are in the link tree in the show notes of this episode. Any opinions stated are ours personally and do not reflect the opinion of or belong to any employers or other entities. Thanks for listening.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.